nicer now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice and smooth. Because it used to set an idle and it just didn't feel super.
It's Tuesday night, December 15th.
Lord, we ask for your hand of blessing to be upon us tonight, Lord. That we would be able to enter into a place with you. Join you in your mind, Lord. Oh, open that up for us, oh Lord. That we would just be able to flow in the flow of your Holy Spirit. That we would be able to flow in your truth, oh Lord. Do that good work by your Spirit, Lord. That our minds would be open to both what you have to say and what the Holy Spirit says through our brothers, Lord. Do that good work by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Because God is in charge of everything that takes place, and not us, and not other people, I'm beginning to realize that as we are listening to the scriptures, and there are a lot of other people that are doing the same thing. And I don't mean just local people or people that we know. But I'm not listening to everything, all of the Christian things, but picking up on some of them that, you know, and there are a lot of people that are getting really familiar with God's Word. A lot of people. And having said that, it has taken us years to get some of the understanding that we got. And for us to expect everybody else to have the same thing, more than likely they don't. However, there may be some of them that do. And that wasn't worded right. There are others that do. God didn't take us, you know, half a dozen people and give us all of the understanding. He's given other people some understanding too. And I have come to an understanding or a revelation of who we are and kind of more so of what we should be doing. And the one thing we want to be careful of is that we don't discourage anybody that's brand new or anybody that don't have what we have because we think we got it. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been real anxious to, you know, I feel something in this thing with Stephen Sue Paulson, Mark and Linda, and Judy, and there will be some others. It's like, it's not their great understanding, their great knowledge, not any of that, but down inside of them, I can feel the same want or desire for God that you and I, we are beginning to get. And it's a kind of a funny situation because I haven't had a lot of confidence in a lot of the people that we've known over the years. But I see that God is doing a real major work in every single one of them. And they have things that they do that are different than what we do. But we have to let God do to them what He wants to do and not what we want Him to do. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
and we got to be careful. And I'm not in a hurry to find fault with anything that they present, as they are convinced that it's right or whatever. I'm not in a hurry, because that is not really what changes anybody. Their relationship with the Word of God is what's going to change them. And what they are doing, they're for whatever reason, they are listening to God's Word. And it's just like Carol. She's a different person. She's not the Apostle Paul. You know, she's not the greatness of whatever it is, but I have to let her be who she is and work with whatever that is. And that's what we got to do. So when new people come in, we got to be careful that, I mean, if a brand new person comes in, or brand new people, or if somebody, whatever, if they come in, the chances that they're going to have revelations and things that have totally come to us are 1 in 1,000, or maybe less. And the last thing we want to do is discourage them. Because it's easy to say, no, I don't agree with you. And I don't do that. I've been really, really careful. But I have had the opportunity to say things from what we have learned that have had an impact on them. And that's what I want. I don't want to cut off what God is trying to do just because my mind says, oh, you got all the answers, Keith's got. You follow me?
I do follow you. You know, I may have just a very, very poor attitude. You know, I don't like hearing what they have to say. You know, I find it kind of grievous. But that might be just a bad attitude that's going on. I don't know.
Well, I don't necessarily like everything that is said either. But the point is, we didn't necessarily like everything that we had to say either.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to say is that we need to be super sensitive, very discerning, really understanding. There are certain things that, especially in people that we know, that we have been affiliated with over the years, that are going to be a part of the concepts that Don Burnett had that weren't necessarily right. And once those things have been embedded deeply inside of people, it's hard for, you know, it's just like the saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the boy out of the country out of the boy, you know. And some of these things have been embedded pretty deep. They were embedded pretty deep in me. I was the first one to ever meet Don Burnett. And out of everybody that you know, I mean, nobody that did you know that ever had met him first. I met him, and I said, because I saw education as a way to Christianity, and I saw this man that knew the scriptures from one end to the other, that cried when he read the scriptures, and I mean, this is the man that I met. And the fact that he had some other difficulties, I didn't know that, and I'm not even so sure that they didn't come later on. You know, and I think towards the end of his ministry, that a lot of the things that he had were not necessarily given to him by the Holy Spirit, but he just began to trust his own mindsets, and it became a religion of the mind.
Yeah. You know, new people are one thing. People who have been at it for 40-some years or another.
But what we have to realize that maybe these people that have been at it for 45 years, maybe they have been stunted, but maybe they have a real hunger for the truth. And maybe, you know, they start listening to the scriptures, maybe they'll start, it'll start coming alive. For whatever reason. And that's why I haven't been too big of a hurry to have you guys even in on, because we talk, you know. And they have a lot of confidence in what God has done to me. And there's not anything in me that is elevated or exalted because of those feelings. But I thought, take advantage of it. Present some of the things that we have learned. Take advantage of it. And that's what I tried to do last Friday night. Was a phenomenal experience. And a lot of the things that we have learned, I shared. But you know what? That doesn't mean that changed anything about any one of them. I don't know what it happened, but it was an anointed experience. So we can write them off because of the past. But I don't think we should.
We should not be judging.
Uh-huh.
We should not be judging.
That's easy to say. Boy, I tell you, you find yourself in a situation. And judgment kind of creeps up on you.
I totally agree. You know, but I'm listening and I'm thinking, you know, and I'm probably the newest one to the church, and we're gathering tonight, and I'm going, when I first came to this church, I was amazed at how much you people were into your Bible. And you people, everybody had a Bible. Everybody used their Bible. Everybody knew way, way, way more than the average Christian about their Bible. And so 20 years later, after God kind of speaks to us and clacks us alongside the head and says, "You don't know Jack." I'm using common slang language, but he points out to us that the knowledge that we think we have, we don't have, and the knowledge that we think we have is wrong. And so you go, and we have said, we have been blessed, and we've been given this gift. And it's not because of anything we've done or deserve. So you have to go back, and so then you start broadcasting that out to anybody else that we know or anybody else that we may meet. And you can't start from the position of, well, you haven't been in your Bible enough. You haven't been trying to find God enough. I think we have to sit back and say, the Holy Spirit hasn't visited you yet. Mm-hmm. And because how many times do we say, well, that wasn't me. I don't know where that came from. I might have been saying those words, but that was God talking through me. Mm-hmm. And so, at least, those are the thoughts that run through my head when I try and keep myself grounded and to help keep from judgment creeping in. Because, you know, as Keith was saying, well, you know, we have to be careful that these people aren't with us and right along with us. And I'm going, and we have to be careful that we don't spurn someone who's way in front of us, you know, because they seem to know what we don't know, and we don't have that revelation, And we go, well, you know, I don't know. Don't have that revelation. No. I think we're on solid enough ground to say, I'm going to need to look into this more. I mean, we wouldn't reject it out of hand. Whereas in the past, someone tried to bring something to us that we didn't, wasn't kind of in our approved list of positional points. We just shunned it. Said, I don't, you know, that's deception. And I think the only thing that's happened here in the last 20 years or whatever it is that God has opened up our eyes to realize that we're not really steering as much as we think we are. So I guess it's a long-winded way to say is I have more grace towards people who may be doing what they used to do because they think it's right, because I would have been right there with them if it wasn't for God setting me free.
Amen. I can see myself saying the very same words I spoke 30 years ago. I can see that. I would be treading water. There would be no life in my relationship with the Lord, but I can see that happening. I wouldn't much want to listen to me speaking, you know, if that were going on, though. It's possible that there are people that are way ahead. I would hope that I would recognize fresh manna when I hear it, though.
Well, amen.
I would hope I would.
Amen.
I would.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm saying I think I would, but I'm also saying that we're in a better position to recognize it as freshmen.
I think that's
because
true.
I think God has gotten enough to us to go that if we are humble and we do say we don't have all the answers, then when someone comes along with something that I hadn't heard that or I don't know like that, you know. And I think we practice that because there are many meetings that we have where God gives something to somebody and the rest of us see the light in it right away. I mean, we almost instantly recognize this as a new and deeper truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful that if someone was to do that or share something with me that was scriptural and based on greater revelation than what I may have in that area, I would be able to recognize it that way. If you thought I was trying to rebuke you or rebuff you, I wasn't. I was just thinking about me. You know, I truly love your vulnerability and your honesty. Like, well, I'm just not okay yet. And that's a perfectly fair and honest answer. You know, instead of saying, well, I'll suck it up and try and pretend. I just hear us every now and then when we start talking about this, I get concerned. Not concerned, but I just think, man, I'm so lucky to be where I am. And I know it's nothing I did. And because we pounded our Bible. We pounded our Bible. In fact, someone once told me they used it as a way to kind of get me in line. Someone said, well, if you think you've got it figured out, how would you like to go argue scriptures with so-and-so-and-so-and-so, that, you know, Don Burnett and the teacher of the Bible college out in Seattle and so-and-so, you know, the Sunday school teacher out there. And they said, those three people could get you screwed into the ground sideways before you knew what hit you. And I'm going, and they would have just bludgeoned you with scriptures. And to the point where your point would have been wrong and they would have been right. And I look at that and I go, yeah. And they probably could have, and they would have still been with a lot of help because they were deceived. You know, they didn't really have truth. They had knowledge, but they didn't have truth. And that's what I thank God for when I'm in a good place. Because that's not to happen all the time, but I'm just saying, you know, I thank God. Cause
wow, we are very, very blessed.
People say that all the time, Charlie. It's like, we have done nothing to get what we've gotten. And I just want to giving God the glory for that.
And I don't know if anybody else has recognized it, but over the last 6 to 8 months, I know Corky has always brought the side of not offending and not, you know, just running over people with the truth, you know, being sensitive to where they're at about what you share, you know, and how much you share, you know, and not making them feel like they're all of a sudden they're stupid or whatever, or don't know anything, or, you know, and I've taken that in, and that's where you got to be around people. You got to be sensitive to where they're at, and let God put His feeler out, and He'll tell you where He wants you to direct something, you know. Because everybody's a little different, and you don't want to just blow them out of the water. But there is a way. But it's now. It just seems it's easier to share something now because I feel like we can bring it across where it's not us. It's the Word, you know, and you just should just, well, have you seen in the Word where this lines up with this, or have you listened enough to gather this, you know, and we're not studying this Word. We're just listening and letting the Holy Spirit teach. I think if we keep stressing who's teaching, you know, that kind of stops anything from being defensive to us, you know. Or offensive from us,
or that we're trying to push something.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not. This is not our doctrine.
No,
we don't have a doctrine. I mean, he says, really, "What do you believe?"
Yeah.
What do you believe?
We believe the word of God.
We believe the word of God. Well, what does that mean? I said, "Well, that is an interesting question. It's unfolding, but it's not. It's not like we're trying to say, if you don't know these 10 things, which may or may not be in the Bible, then you're not." Really in tune with God. And it's like, and that's how most churches sort of start that out. I mean, do you speak in tongues? Well, that's a way to divide Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and, you know, life after eternal life and not eternal life. I mean, this is a problem, you know, thousands and thousands of years old, and you try and find a difference in truth, and then you pin people against it. And maybe I've been lucky, but I recall some early situations where someone would say to me something like, well, what do you believe? Or this is what they believe, and these are the four things they're wrong about. I mean, we literally summed up charismatic churches and go, yeah, but they don't believe this, they don't believe this, so they're just off. You know, and you go, these people might have been having a great heart for God and really in tune to the Spirit's moving, but because you didn't like the fact they didn't do these two things, you minimized them, you know. And where I'm at now is like, I know God didn't minimize them. Mm-hmm. God wanted every one of those souls. So
we can be mighty quick to minimize.
Well,
I mean, we certainly have been in the past. I don't know, but it's changed a whole bunch.
Well, I think it's easy to do, Charlie, is kind of what I'm getting at. It.
Yeah.
And Brother Ken's been, you know, I like to kind of pop off and say something and Ken goes, well, now wait a minute. How can you really not be, you know, you have to acknowledge what God's given you, and in that way that has to steer where you're going. And I go, well, that's right, you know. And so you go, well, okay, so in a way you're judging. You know, and you gotta, and which is exactly what I said, really hard not to. And I go, yeah, so I don't want to judge their hearts. They're, you know, they're seeking, but maybe they don't have the same amount of light that I have.
If they were seeking, I hope I would recognize it and applaud it, and I would be sympathetic with whatever's going on. I don't see a whole lot of seeking. What I see is saying the same thing they said 30 years ago and feeling happy enough about it.
And, you know, and that's true. And maybe that is the one area of light. I mean, what's like kind of a, at least for me, a founding principle is, and I, God gave me this light even back in the unfolding revelation. I really, that's a cornerstone in one of my belief system. I believe that the Word of God is unfolding to me. It allows me to stay humble because I say it's unfolding. I haven't read the whole thing. I've read it, but I don't know it all.
Yeah.
And it's a better way to say that. And because I can take that position about my walk, then I go, okay. So you know, maybe that's the thing. We were talking the other night about, well, maybe this is how we approach somebody, and I was going, yeah, it's like that, you know, and my smart aleck response was, you know, I used to think like that. And then Brother King goes, maybe a little too harsh. which was a good correction. It's like, no, that's probably not the way to, that's not honey there, brother. And I get it. You know, that was good. But the point behind it was, for me, was I used to feel that way. I used to think that's where I used to be. But I'm not at that point anymore. I believe I've moved forward. The Holy Spirit has shown me more. And, you know, as Keith is saying, you know, you're sharing some things and some truths, you know. And the one thing I'm unafraid of, I mean, I'll stand in a room with any of the ex-church members that we used to know, and if they start coming after me, I'll say, look, I am not defending anything except the Word of God. And if you don't like how I'm defending the Word of God because you don't see it that way, I accept that, because the Holy Spirit doesn't work on everybody the same way at the same time. And I'm comfortable with it. Now, if you think that I've got some bad things because I'm seeing the Scripture different than you, I'm willing to let that go, because God will fix that. If we're both actively going after God, He will find a way to let us meet Him. But I'm not going to let it destroy my relationship with you, because I'm acknowledging that we're not at the same place. Not that you're off, you're half-cocked, you know, because I was half-cocked. And I have to have the heart to say, well, I used to think some pretty weird things. I mean, we used to think that Tavy was the devil. That's pretty weird. You know, we used to find the devil everywhere. Now, the devil can be everywhere, but not to the level we took it to. And so, what if I met someone and I said, you would have written me off because this is where I was at, you know? It's not helping us figure out how to get people or show them the light that we've been given. And I wonder, I ask myself sometimes, you know, how much of that is us? I mean, if God is truly going to give us the words at the right time, then God will give us the words. And but I can certainly understand going, man, this is work. I'm here, and you're churning up, you know, the 1980s version of spirituality, and you don't feel like you're moving forward. You go, I don't know. God's got to do that.
I need you to look me up with Scripture.
Yes, sir.
I think it's in Hebrew, but I'm not sure. It says, and you need not that any man should teach you, but the anointing.
That's not John 14, is it? Gospel of John?
I don't think so. I think it's in Hebrews. The one that I have.
It's familiar.
Well, it's a good one.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I've been trying to blather about.
Is it in Hebrews?
I don't know yet.
Oh.
Sometimes the old internet's not as fast as we'd like it to be.
I thought I knew where it was, but that ain't what it says where I am. Say good.
Okay. Can you say that again?
Have that need that any man should teach you. But the Holy Spirit, the anointing.
Yeah.
It might not be in Hebrews.
John 16:30, perhaps.
Okay, read it.
Well, it doesn't give me a full... What popped up here is, now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not any man should ask? Now we should know now we know that you have all knowledge, and you do not need, and I think it to be taught.
That's not it.
And you got to give me better keywords to look up, Keith.
Are you guys familiar with what I'm talking about?
I can't think of the other part of it because that might help too, but it's or how it starts.
Man should not teach you.
You have no need that any man should teach you.
Well, any man should teach, just those four words, goes to 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received from him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man should teach you.
Oh, okay. What is that, John? What?
1 John 2:27.
Oh, 1 John. Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, it's kind of the anointing which you receive it from him abideth in you, and not from man.
1 John 2:27.
But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as he has taught you, he shall abide in him. Mm-hmm. That's still not the one I'm thinking of, but it's a...
It isn't?
No, there's another one, too.
Well, you're probably right. There is another way it says something about every man shall be taught by God.
Yeah. I thought that was in Hebrews.
Every man shall be taught by God.
But anyway, there is a scripture that says that. And I tell you what I think it's related to. Isaiah 28, where it says, what's up, the goofy position there?
There is John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me.
I don't think that's still a thing, the same thing, but...
Ken, where were you bringing, what were you quoting at that at the funeral?
That was in
Mary John.
Oh, did I read from John? I read Matthew 24.
Yeah, I thought you were quoting John. That was about little children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I've been taught by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Well, that was referring to the helper. That's 14, 15, and 16, or 14, 15. It says it three, four different times. Well, chapter 14, it refers to it once or twice, and I think in 15 it refers to it. So
Matthew 18:3, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
That was 18.
Yeah, that's probably the one that I started with. But
yeah, you brought that one on.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
But, it's John... first time it says it, I think, is in 14.
See, in Isaiah 28:11, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." And of course, we understand we're talking about the Holy Spirit experience, where he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, and yet they would not hear." I was thinking this morning, and we won't dwell on what I'm about to say, but in John, the Gospel of John, and it says, and the Word in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in verse 11, it says, he spoke to his people.
Charlie, I'm supposed to call Candy when men groups is done before Charlie leaves.
Okay. What was this?
Candy texted me and said, "I'm supposed to call her when we're done in men's group before Charlie leaves."
Okay.
So whatever it is, you're in the middle of it.
No, yes.
Well, I don't know what you've done.
John 1:11 is, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not."
Okay. And that was what I was trying to remember. And what people don't realize is that the Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And God says, "I will put my words in his mouth." And Jesus says, "The words that I speak, or I speak what the Father tells me to speak." Mm-hmm. Okay? And so, what people have done, because they believe in the Trinity, they have made verse 11 saying that Jesus came unto his own, but I don't think that's what it's saying. God came through Jesus unto his own, and they received him not. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's saying that it's not separated. Jesus is saying that Jesus came unto his own, mm-hmm. but God through Jesus came unto his own. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
I mean, to me, that verse would be a quintessential anti-Trinity proof.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so to say, God came unto God, and he did not receive him. I mean, because otherwise you're going, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, he can't be talking about gods there.
No.
He's got to be talking about the Jews. So,
Jesus said several times, he said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be kind of what happened right there? Wouldn't he be coming in his Father's name?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it is. It is. There's kind of a blending there. Sometimes I think there's way too many pronouns in the Bible. But
I think there's more in the Greek, which is a root problem.
But no, there is a kind of a, you know, is it God or is it Jesus? Well, it just depends on the angle you look at it from.
Well, and I don't think that was an accident.
No, it's the Holy Spirit, right?
I mean, if the scriptures were set to confound the wise, then there's all these ambiguous statements that could be interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that, you say, well, how are we to know? And the answer is, God will tell you.
Sure.
The Holy Spirit will tell you. You just can't sit here and tease it out.
When I speak the opinions and pronouns of the Bible, I'm speaking after the manner of man, of course.
Oh, I took it that way. Right. Took it that way. I just...
But yeah. There is one thing. It was in John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, which I have told you. Which, that's not what you were.
No, that's not the one, but that's close.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I think I read something, and it's in this column.
It's there.
But I don't know which book.
You know the column, you do not know the page.
Yeah, I can remember reading where it said, no man need...
Pretty sure it's New Testament, right? So
Yeah, no man need be... How is that?
Because you will all be taught of God. You will all be taught to know me. And it's kind of, that one really fits what I heard that morning. You know what I mean? You will all be taught of God.
Yeah.
It's funny how that doesn't, you know, it doesn't pop up.
No, I can't find it either. I should know exactly where.
I mean, even when you're looking in the.
Well, there's trouble with, you know, keyword searches. Taught, learned, showed. You know, if you got the wrong verb, this isn't very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting though. Taking the verse that you just read, Charlie.
And if you all know me from the least to the greatest.
That is Old Testament, isn't it?
No, not that. That's probably in the Old Testament, but I think it's in. It doesn't have to be, but it seems to me like it's in Hebrews.
Oh.
Maybe that's where I should go look.
But it doesn't have to be the Hebrews. It just seems like it is.
I don't know why. I always think Hebrews is farther forward than it is.
Yeah. All the ones after it are pretty short.
Yeah.
Except for Revelation.
Yeah, that's the last longer one.
But anyway, our main emphasis has got to be preaching to people or telling people what you need to do is hear God's word. And then what we need to know is the scriptures to tell us why. And there's a lot of them that tell us why. And why the hearing of the word. And Mark said the other night, he said the hearing of God's word affects you more than the reading of it. And it doesn't mean it does, but I mean, in his mind it does, you know?
Well, for the most part it does.
Well, yeah, I think that's good.
I just read to go confirm what I heard, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't find it in Hebrews where I thought I saw it. In the column I thought I saw it.
Maybe it was yesterday. But anyway, it occurred to me that all the problems with the Bible, they are just brambles for the natural man. If you are really in the Spirit and flowing in Him, you are not bothered in the least by any of the stuff that's in there. And I think that's by design.
Yeah.
You know, there's all those things, you know, inconsistencies and, you know, all these things that that are troubling to the natural man. And, but,
you know what?
In the Spirit, you're just not bothered by that stuff.
No. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I think that I'm not thinking of the picture. See, I think it's in either 8:10 or 10:16
of
Hebrews. And here's what it says: For this is a covenant. This is in chapter 8, verse 10. That I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest.
Okay, you were right about Hebrews after all here.
But I think that's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah. And
that certainly conveys that.
And then 10:16 is the other part of that. Or I think so. Yeah, 10:16.
Oh, yeah.
It's a repeat. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And my thing is, now I don't know exactly how God is going to do all that, but I do know that by what we have been doing, by the hearing of the word and taking it in constantly, that if there's any way that God will write it in our minds and in our hearts, that's it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly.
Uh-huh. Hey, that's a pretty great thing to have written in your mind and in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we see, like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man whose delight is it God's word? And on that word does he meditate day and night? Blessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a curse, that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man that does that. Blessed is that man. Mm-hmm. God blesses the man that does that.
Yeah.
So yeah. God has blessed us because we've done that.
Uh-huh.
And what is the blessing? You know what? I'm beginning to think, Charlie, that the greatest blessing that God can give us is to have His Word put inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But that Word that God wants inside of us is going to endure forever.
Yeah. That's what a fine thing.
That's what
yeah.
It says.
Yeah.
Have His Word written in our hearts. You know, it doesn't say you got it memorized.
No.
It's been written.
Yeah. Memorization is a mind
yeah.
thing. And I know somebody that as a teenager I could remember, could memorize huge portions of the scriptures. But it didn't necessarily help the person. Because it was just a gift of a memorization.
Yeah.
Afraid words.
It's not a bad way of spending your time trying to memorize the words, but it's not the key. It's not the be all and end all either.
Well, he says on the mind he will write them, on the heart he'll write them, you know.
Yeah. And where's Timothy or something been written on the fleshly tables of our heart?
Yeah.
So the point that I was trying to make is that everybody we run into is not going to be in the same place we are. You know?
Well, that's right. And what do you do with that? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I right now...
It's kind of the dilemma we started on, isn't it?
Oh, it kind of is.
Yeah. Sorry,
right now, Brittany and Curtis are almost all day long and half the night listening to the scriptures and talking about them and talking about the scriptures with the kids.
I tell you, I've gotten several things out from what Brittany has said.
Well, she's not where we are, but at the same time,
you gotta pay attention to what that gal has to say.
Yeah,
you get something out of it.
And we gotta quit pretty soon here. We gotta quit thinking about how long.
Sure.
Because it isn't gonna matter.
It really won't.
Exactly.
It don't matter if you or I got 40 years, because in 40 days they might have more than we have.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit's showing.
Yeah.
He doesn't check the resume first.
And then we are, and I can't explain why, but we are right on the verge of the greatest revival that has ever come on planet Earth. Right on the verge of it. I'm not the only one saying that. And I was going to mention one other thing. In 1 John 4:1, it said, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they're from God or not." And then the next line says, "For many false prophets have gone out into the earth, on the end of the world, or earth or something." And so anyway, I have not had much confidence in prophets of today. However, it didn't say every prophet that came out was a false prophet. No. It just says try him. But it says try the spirits, and then it says for many false prophets. So we're talking about prophets. Try them to see. You know what I mean? And so I'm thinking that we have some prophets that are active right now mixed in with a bunch of that aren't. It kind of takes some discernment to recognize them. I didn't have any over the years any confidence in what's the guy? I think he's saying his prophecies.
Kim Clement.
Yeah, Kim Clement. But over the I have heard some of the prophecies that he had, and I don't know, no way. I mean, he's dead now. But I don't know that he was a false prophet.
I prefer that they not be celebrities.
Yeah.
Now, could certainly use celebrity prophets, but...
Well, I guess with him, eight of them might not have been, two might have. That's why it says try him. You know?
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, the only ones we know for sure that spoke it exactly right, because it's only recorded what they spoke, are the prophets from the Old Testament. But, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's the problem.
You know, a fountain can't give forth both fresh water and salt water, though. If he's either he's a real prophet or he's, I don't know.
Now, as you're talking, I'm thinking, John the Baptist, he kind of wasn't. I mean, the anointing was on him, and then it wasn't, so.
But he wasn't pretending to prophesy when he said, "All right, are you the Christ, or should we look for somebody else?"
No, he
didn't know. I mean,
I'm sitting here thinking now, and if you're a prophet, are you only a prophet some of the time? I don't know.
But when you're not a prophet, you're not claiming to be one. I don't think.
So it's kind of like when Saul says, "I've got a word from the Lord," he's being a prophet. But when he's not saying that, he's not being a prophet.
Paul sometimes says, "I don't know. This seems right to me, and I kind of think I think I got the mind of the Spirit." You know, that's not prophetic.
That's fair.
Because other times he can say,
"The Lord has given me this word to speak."
And then you got to define what aspect of prophet. Because we sitting here sharing truth is prophesying the word of God.
I was thinking that too.
You know,
we aren't saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Yeah. However, it is a prophetic process. Yeah.
I know, it's tricky. It's,
that is.
I think we say, "I think what the Lord was saying was."
we do speak out of our head, though, sometimes.
I think, what happened, because in the Old Testament, "Thus says the Lord," because the Lord said, "Say, thus says the Lord,"
right.
that's what's got to predicate every prophecy. No, it doesn't. You don't have to start it out with that. You can speak it, and then it's one prophet to another, and like it says, there are many false. Try them. I like that. Now that I heard that, so they should not become offended if I say, "Boy, where does that line up in the Word of God?" If they get defensive, well, then right away I'd probably not come listen to much more. And it's the same way if we get that way. You know, it's like, because I was thinking of this the other day when we listened to that one. I thought, well, shouldn't every prophecy line up in the Word of God?
If it's from God, it should.
I mean, there should be something that substantiates it. I mean, unless you're projecting something then to see, well, then... You know, well, then don't. If that's the case, then you can't say whether that it's true or not till it happens. So then you shouldn't be living your life according to that, because if it hasn't happened, you know.
Yeah.
Am I confusing that, or I mean?
I think there's a difference between prophesying about something that has scriptural backing and prophesizing about something that is beyond what the scriptures talk about. You know, and taking as such.
I mean, and maybe this is just something I need answered, but how many things are going to happen in the spirit, in a move or whatever, is there some that's not going to be necessarily lining up in the word? Is it just something that's going on to, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I've always had a little trouble with that whole notion, because it can be a little hard to come up with a chapter and verse that just exactly conforms with what you have just brought.
Right.
That's
the
one. For two, I mean, the enemy is so deceptive, and you can so easily come up with a scripture that is in some kind of sense consistent, but it is nonetheless not of the Lord. You know, Satan tells Jesus, he'll protect you. He won't, don't let you dash your foot upon the, you know, he's quoting scripture there. There when he's being tempted.
Yeah.
So
which was true.
Well, it is, but you wouldn't want to say that Satan was therefore a true prophet or something like that.
Oh, him? No, but when Jesus, when he answers back, he almost repeats it.
He is quoting, yeah. But I guess my point is that Satan can come up with a scripture that come up with something that has scriptural backing. So
in the natural.
Yeah. Sure. You know,
right.
But, yeah.
Well, appear on the surface to support what he is deceiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it supports the deception.
See, that's why it's saying, I think, try the spirits.
I think that is exactly right.
In 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Okay. And in verse 9 it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. I just read it.
Prophecies will fail. Yeah.
I mean, taking the question about when a prophet was speaking, was he prophesying or was he just talking? You know, then look at Jesus. Jesus says, the only thing I say, the Father gave me. So he basically says everything he's saying is from God, which by definition is prophesying. Yet, a lot of times, was God giving him information that in a parable form and he was just repeating it? Or was did Jesus turn it into a parable, you know, conveying what God wanted him to convey, you know?
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, so if somebody prophesied who was going to be president and he became president, what bearing does that have spiritually? You know, it may have nothing,
right.
Or it may have some, you know?
Well, if
I mean, if the guy went on and all become born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and started changing the whole concept of government, that could have a spiritual effect, I suppose, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, some of that, are they just events in the ongoing, you know, and that we don't want to put too much on it, but it's part of our daily life. You know,
it's just so much showmanship. So much showmanship.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that.
Gosh,
that's the stuff that makes me.
That's not the way it ought to be. That's not.
I mean, that's exactly why the Jews didn't recognize Christ.
They were expecting
a little more showmanship than this. what, the son of a carpenter? Get out of here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
You know, I was kind of. I was reading that. The part where he goes into the temple, and I picked up and it says, and he sat and made a whip of cords. That took a little bit of time. And then he went in and chastised him. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it was a kind of a natural thing, but it was not. It was spiritual. I mean,
as to Jesus always having the mind of Christ, though. Jesus having the mind of God.
Yeah.
I think we have identified occasions when he did not. When he says...
Well, that's true.
You know, true. My hour is not yet come.
Yeah.
You know, and there it
that's came. That's a good way, yeah.
And it's kind of my thought that when he told the woman at the well, go get your husband, he really thought she had a husband. And then he came up, then he knew later.
Well, I don't know. I don't agree. I think he knew everything about that situation. I think he had discernment.
Well, he certainly did have a discernment in the process. Now, at what point he had the discernment,
well,
I don't know.
He asked her, and then when she answered, he says, you answer rightly, because your guy you're with now isn't your husband.
Yeah, and he learned it. You know, the Spirit spoke with him. Well, the difference of 5 seconds.
Well, that's the same thing we say about what do you have to do with me, woman? My time hasn't come. And then she says, do whatever he says. And then he says, okay, go get a bunch of... I mean, how quickly it happened, I think, is maybe the point.
Yeah, well, that one there, I agree that
mm-hmm.
he was not at that same place. But
and we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But I as many times as I've read that about the woman, it just seemed like he was setting her up.
I agree, because he came up to her and said, you know, he speaks to her and says, hey, draw me some water. And she goes, are you talking to me? Because you're not supposed to talk to me.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I mean, he was going out of his way to engage that woman, and then use that woman in her situation to
mm-hmm.
bring the word.
I can see him feeling a little prompt from the Spirit, but not having a real good idea of how things are going to unfold.
Maybe I'm assuming because she went back and said, he told me all things that
I've met a prophet, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, and I don't know.
That could have been a prophet.
But I would think that perhaps he got a little bit of nudge in the Holy Spirit to, hey, go have her, ask her to bring her husband. You know.
I mean, you know what we can't comprehend? We can't even... minutely get close to how close he was to his father.
Yeah.
How much time he spent with him, everything. So,
well, we don't, but that doesn't mean that he knew everything at all times.
No.
Well, that's the debate.
There's certain times when he was, obviously when he prayed in Gethsemane, he was more or less, I'd say, somewhat in his natural mind, because it was a battle, man. It was, you know, oh, no, I know I'm going to get, so why would I pray like this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, the other.
Regarding the woman as well, though, it seems a little, I don't know if the word sneaky or what, to say, go get your husband when he knows she doesn't have a husband, you know. I feel we're more comfortable with his knowing a little later that, no, she didn't.
In that little incident, it gives us one of the best revelations of why we listen to God's word. Because she went and got her friend that she knew, and I would imagine she was a pretty girl, and she knew a lot of the guys knew that she had a problem. And so she said, "Come, you got to come and hear him." So when they did, they invited him, you know, to stop in Samaria, and he spent 2 days there. And after he left, now it's funny, but they would record this, but they did. After he left, these guys told her, they said, "You know, when you told us about him, we believed. But now we really believe. Why?
We heard him ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You want to believe? Faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
The word of God. You want to believe? Mm-hmm. You want to really believe? Hear him yourself. You want to really believe? Turn the pastor off and hear him yourself. Now, people aren't going to really get excited about that, but... turn the pastor off that doesn't know him himself, and you hear him yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, saith the pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole lot in this Bible if you just open yourself up to it.
Yeah. I pretty well covered it, but, you know. You know, when I started listening, even though I knew that we're supposed to, and I listened for a while, I thought, you know what? I could quote it. I really know it. Then it dawned on me, Keith Gunn, you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Don't try to make yourself believe you do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyways.
Yeah, that's good.
And Chuck's getting tired over there.
Really? Are you the one getting tired, or is it the other guy?
Is it the
other guy? That's what I thought. He's always quick to tell you. He blames you for a lot.
He does.
Yeah.
Well,
he blamed me for feeling that he's guilty of
it. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Actually, I tell you, it's a little hard to pull one over on Chuck, though.
No, you don't. He's, the funny thing is, Keith's got about 8 moves, and Chuck's got them all down. It's gotten so bad that Chuck starts calling him up before he gets halfway in. Yeah, gets halfway off. He starts talking about some buck in the backyard, and Chuck goes, no.
We keep looking for that big buck out there, and of course, I've never seen him. But and I told Chuck one day here a while ago, I said, well, he should be out there this morning. He said he was going to be out there. You know, he should be out there. And Chuck looks out the window, and he says, he lied to you.
No, and if he has the ability to talk to find out what he's going to be, it's going to take a picture next time.
Yeah, right.
You know, if he's chatting him up, where's the picture? Come on.
Put that smartphone to use, huh?
Yeah.
Are we? Did we turn this on?
No. No, but I was going to talk about tonight anyway. So.
You were what?
You wanted a break?
Oh no. I just
we got a little casual
sidetrack.
Love you all.